be here and gathered together for the purpose of worshiping the Lord, spirit and in truth. Grateful to His mercy, for His mercy that He's shown to me, able to be saved. I was thinking of that song we sang a while ago, 207, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. There's He's dearer to my heart than life. He found me lost in sin. He calmed the sea of inward strife and made me come to Him. Oh, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Said, my flesh recoiled before the cross. Satan said to me then, whispered there, your gain will not repay your loss. And I remember that struggle. And sometimes, perhaps, I suppose all of us do, the devil would like to make it seem in our minds that, oh, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to miss out on so much. He started lying a long time ago and he hadn't quit yet. The writer here said, that's what the devil told him. Your gain will not repay your loss. His yoke's hard to bear. But he went on and said, but His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I found it so. His service is my sweetest delight. His blessings ever flow. Well, thank the Lord. Well, I thought about praying about services this morning. I was thinking in my mind, Lord, what would you have? What do you want? And there's a tendency that in our human understanding, we want to present the gospel in a way that would be, oh, not boring. You always want, and in my human way of thinking, I was thinking, Lord, is there some way that we could present this in a way that people will hold their attention? You know, He told me that wasn't my job. Not to hold people's attention. We can, in our own human ways of trying to do things, we can try to take God's place. And I'm not interested this morning in trying to come up with flowery words or some sort of charismatic speech. Folks, when it all boils down, I'm an old country boy, and back home we say when you shuck it right down to the cob, it's you and me and God. And a lot of times if I try to come up with something great and eloquent, it's the flesh gets involved. Sometimes that detracts from the things of the Lord. So I ask for your prayers this morning as we approach the Word, that He would be honored. What was that song, you 156? All cleansing fountain. There's a fountain open in the house of God where the vilest of sinners may go. And this morning I really noticed this next few words. And all test the power of the crimson flow. Okay? We come all, it says, where the vilest of sinners may go and test and see, is the power of the blood sufficient? I want to tell you today, it is. The power of the blood, this morning, all test the power of the crimson flow of the blood that makes whiter than snow. Praise the Lord, I am washed. And I thank Him for that today. Well, over here in the book of Ephesians, 5th chapter, think a little bit here in this. Maybe we'll just start reading. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We live in a day where there are a lot of different things getting presented to our minds, and it seems like there's a lot of lethargy around. And when it has to do with Christian walking in the Lord, serving the Lord, there seems to be a lot of lethargy in the nation in general, and also around people who name the name of Christ. There's a lot of carelessness. See, and this is what the devil would like to get us involved. He would like us to get so accustomed, maybe even to a system. Folks, God's not necessarily for systems. He wants us to be melted into the passion and hunger of following Him. If that, you want to call that a system, that's a good one. A hunger and thirst after righteousness. And He wants you and I to seek and hunger after Him to the point that the other distracting qualities that we see round about us will begin to lose their value. And our focus will, and our attention will be on, Lord, how can I serve you? I want to be your dear children. At the beginning, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He wants you and I to have that quality of a dear child. I think, let's think a little bit about a dear child. Sometimes I know that my mother was frustrated with me. She had good reason to. But there were sometimes she would tell me to do something, and I didn't like what I heard her say. And I would pretend like I didn't hear it, or I would kind of nod my head and kind of go on and do what I wanted to. Now that wasn't being a very dear child, was it? That was being a self-willed child. But then there were some times, there was one time when I was growing up a little bit, and I was ashamed of some of the things I'd been doing. And I remember my mother had been off and had to go to town, had some things she really was having to do, and I came in the house there and I saw dishes piled up over there in the sink. And I never liked doing dishes, folks. I saw dishes piled up over there, some things in the kitchen out of sorts, and I knew she was going to be home in just a little bit. And I thought, you know what? It would sure make her feel good if those dishes were washed and counters wiped and kind of cleared off here. And I got busy, drew me some water and washed those. And you know what? When she came home, she wanted to hug me. She said, dear child, shouldn't we, as like Brother Marty said, it's our pleasure. It's my delight. This is the way the Lord wants us to develop it. I want to do this. Not out of drudgery, out of, well, I'm missing so much out there. No, I found something richer. I found a richer treasure, one that fades not away. God has something for you and I that goes beyond the frivolous, the carnal things that are full, many times are full of venom, full of things that would cause destruction and pain later on. But God has something greater for you and I. Something that has a lasting pleasure. Something that has a lasting value that we can invest ourselves in and enjoy our life. I want to tell you today, my wife and I are celebrating today our 27th anniversary. I know that's not a lot of years for some people out there. I've known people, you know, 60-some years. I heard one in 70 years. They'd been together. And thank the Lord for that. But I'm grateful for the 27 years the Lord has given my wife and I. You know the devil hates marriage? He hates it. And there were little things when I began to walk with the Lord that it seemed insignificant. But as I got on my knees and talked with the Lord, sometimes I was just needing some closeness. Folks, we need that. I was needing, Lord, I need You. And I'd get down and get off by myself and go to calling on the Lord, and we'd start communing like father and son. Those are precious times. And when I'd get along with the Lord, those little things that seemed insignificant, they began to take on more importance there when I was in front of the Father. And as I gave myself more and more to Him, He just said, "Son, I know you don't understand, but just do it for Me. Yes, Father, I'll do it for You." And I want to tell you, those little things now, added one upon another, has helped us to have 27 years of wonderful marriage. Did you know the devil would like to take those little things and steal them from us and cause them to weaken our resolve? Cause those, as those things are stolen from us, it will weaken our resolve and put us in a position where the devil would have an advantage or could get an advantage on us. I want to tell you today, let us be followers of God as dear children. I want to do it just because it's right. Just because, oh, when I get along with the Lord, I feel His wooing touch. And He says, "Follow Me. Come on, let's do it My way." And perhaps others may not even understand why you do that. But you do it. You have the blessing of the Lord in your heart. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." Now, we think sometimes of love as being having the quality of being very permissive. I'll tell you, a lot of times in our relationship, my wife and I, I'm sure there's times because she loved me, she put up with things that was harder for her. That's the way it is. That's true. Love has that quality. But love not only has that quality. Love has also the quality that when a parent sees a child getting involved in something that's unwholesome, they love them enough to know that if that continues on, it will be damaging to that soul. And so that child, that parent, takes that child and takes them in the best of their understanding, tries to correct and change. Recently, I have a grandson now. He's up walking around. He was there in my house the other day. And he was doing something I didn't want him to do. And called his name. And he looked over at me and I said, "Come here." And he knew that he wasn't supposed to be doing what he was doing. But he didn't want to come to me. And he kind of acted like he was going to ignore me. I'm going to walk around there. And there was something in the heart of Grandpa that wanted to say, "Isn't that kind of cute?" There was also something in the heart of Grandpa that knew that if that continued, it'd be damaging. And I love that little son, that little grandson. And I know what'll happen if that's not corrected. I wouldn't want the pain that would come later on if that would grow up and develop into a rebellion to God. So you know what I did? I reached out when he was trying to go on by. I took my hand and gave him a little tap. Got his attention. that out of anger? Did I do that out of wanting to be damaging to this young man, to this child?
No, I did. I did it because I loved him.
Walk in love. All the qualities of love. So when there is something in me wants to rise up and take its own way, walk in love. Say, Lord, I love you more than me. And sometimes, Paul put it over in another, was it Philippians? I forget what book this is in. He said, I bring my body under. Okay. I bring my body under. Another translation I heard, brother said, I give myself a punch in the black eye. Give myself a punch in the eye. You know what that means? I got a hold of me, and that part of me that was trying to go off and take its own way, I grabbed it and I brought it into subjection. I gave it a whipping because it needed it. Walk in love as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Now, on down here, where was it we ended the reading? Where was it? 11th verse? And that's it. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The unfruitful works of darkness. What is that? Is that after the sun goes down and it gets dark? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual darkness that turns away from the Lord. Do you think any of that's still around today? I believe folks would deal with it as much today as any other age before. The unfruitful works of darkness. Do you think there's any deception that the devil's trying to promote today? Anything going on out there? The sister requested, somebody requested prayer anyway, for maybe Brother Ron, the rulers of our nation. Do you see the devil at work in our nation? Lots of different ways. Did you know he would like to cause us as people to get so many feelings built up within ourselves for there to be divisions among us as a nation? Is that the will of God? As unfruitful works of darkness. Do you know that comes down to a spiritual level? Did you know in a congregation, did you know God wants you and I to guard against the unfruitful works of darkness that would cause there to be a separation between you and I? Did you know that you can have personalities, and I can have a personality, and I know my personality. I'm pretty hard-headed. Back home I call myself an old stubborn German, and I've got a lot of qualities that the Lord may have to give you a lot of grace, but you pray for me and ask the Lord to change me. And you know what? I'll be praying for you too. And in all of our qualities, in all of our personalities, the Lord wants to take you and I and change us and mold us. He wants us to walk as dear children. Allow Him to take us who we are and begin to move on our lives. Divinely go to change in our hearts. This is the work of God. He can take a vile sinner and wash him. We can test the power of the blood. I want to tell you what, the blood hadn't lost its power today. The blood's still able to take you and I in all of our human ways. And the Lord is able to take you and I and move on our hearts by His blood and by His Holy Spirit. Is able to move on our hearts and change and mold you and I into His very image. It's hard for Him to do it though if we have a standoff attitude. We try to go out and do it our own way. I tell you, it's very hard for God to work with that. God wants you and I to come to Him as dear children, humbling our heart and seeking Him. Lord, I want Your way. This, I was thinking of all the things that the devil would like to try to do humanly to you and I. He would love to get in our minds suspicions of each other. Sometimes suspicion is a natural fruit of other things going on, but I want to tell you, folks, just work against it. God wants you and I to come to the point that I don't need to worry about what you're doing. I need to worry about what I'm doing. And when I get alone with the Lord, and we need to learn how to spend some time getting alone with the Lord. And when I get alone with the Lord, I pour out my heart to Him. And I begin to seek Him. Lord, help me to be like You. And as I peer into His face, there is a natural changing quality of being in God's presence that will change and mold and shape you and I. We're not the same person when we come out of those encounters that we were before, because He divinely works. He separates us from the unfruitful things. Did you know these works of darkness are unfruitful? There are things sometimes we can acknowledge as being true. We know it's there. But for you and I to dwell on, did you know it's unfruitful? It could be damaging. If you and I today looked at the political situation, things going on in America, and I know, folks, we should carry a burden for different ones. There's a lot of people affected by a bad economy. You might be sometimes, you know, I've affected sometimes by some of these things. And we can all be, but folks, let's not get our eyes on that. Let's get our eyes on the Lord. We can be so affected by all these things that we become crushed. We become separated. We become, the devil would work in us to the point that we can't have the victory that the Lord wanted. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, that's one level. And then there's another level, that there are things that we take into our bosom defile us. God wants us to make conscious decisions. I do not want to allow things in my life that will be defiling. And did you know, sometimes in our walk with the Lord, in our growth process in the Lord will bring us to places that reveal to us that there may have been places that we have allowed in there that He would like for us to quit. Paul said, I haven't already attained. Where is that scripture? The third chapter of Philippians, down toward maybe the 13th verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now, Brother Paul, he realized himself that there were some things he hadn't gotten yet. I haven't gotten everything. Another place he said, because of the abundance of the revelation, the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh. He knew the Lord had done a lot for him. And I want to tell you, folks, I thank the Lord for everything that He's done for us here today. But He's not done. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Are you going to make some mistakes in your life? Yes, you are. You're going to come to some deep disappointments in your life? More than likely you will. But that doesn't mean that God has quit on you. Nor does it mean that you ought to quit on God. That's a time for you and I to get a hold and say, Lord, I want to go on here, forgetting those things which are behind. I press, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. 14th verse, now I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Perfect? Do you know that's what God's doing for you and I? He's perfecting that that concerns you and I. We can have a perfect heart even when we make mistakes. God wants you and I to have a heart singly focused on Him.
and the Lord will take care of the rest.
Brethren, Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting all those things that the devil may try to tell me where I have failed in the past, forgetting those things. And I want to tell you, Paul had some things he had to forget. In his past, do you remember what he said?
He said he persecuted the church more than they all.
You know what he did? Putting people, delivered them, not only just into persecution, but also was unto death. He was consenting to the stoning of Stephen.
And I thought later on, I wonder what Brother Paul thought when the rocks were bouncing off his head. He may have been thinking, Lord, I deserve them. But at the same time, Lord, give me grace to take this like you would.
Lord, glorify yourself. Didn't say one time in there that Paul lifted up his hand to defend and say, and he didn't throw, I don't believe he threw a rock back. Doesn't give me that account, but I don't believe Brother Paul did. Later on, and he was stoned to death, folks. And as the brethren stood around there mourning him, you know what happened? The Lord raised him back up. What'd he do? Went back to preaching, didn't he? How could he do anything other? See, the Lord got a hold of his heart. There was an experience that he had on the road to Damascus. There was a 180-degree turning around in his life. There was a change happened. He had an encounter with God. And God wants to have that encounter with you and I. Such a real encounter. Such a real change. Such a real companionship, such a real knowing of Him that's in my heart, that will be an anchor, that will cause me, when the unfruitful works of darkness come in all its tempting ways, I would say, no, it's not like my Lord. I don't want it. Oh, and sometimes things can look so appealing, especially today when everybody else is doing it. Others, maybe other Christians are doing it. Oh, but in your heart, if you approach that thing and you realize, oh, it's not like my Lord. Do it as dear children now. I'll do that, Lord. I'll stay away from that for your sake. Because you've done so much for me. Oh, don't you know that the great heart of the Lord is pleased with that action? The unfruitful works of darkness. Don't do that. What did he say here? And have no fellowship, no communion, no getting involved with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For the fruit now, the ninth verse, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Well, surely we can figure out what's right in our society. And let's start out here first on this line and list what we know here. And the next line, and let's go into, we believe in salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe there's a work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we believe in baptism, water baptism. And we can go on down and let's get this cataloged all down. And then we're going to need to figure out, how do we deal with the different influences, the sports issue? How do you deal with it? How about the computer? We can catalog it. Folks, I want to tell you what you're going to get over in the area. It's too big for you and I to do. But it's not too big for the Lord. Every time I've wondered where right was, if I got along with the Lord, it really wasn't hard to figure out. Really isn't hard to figure out. But the fruit of the Spirit is very simply this. It's in goodness. God-likeness. Christ-likeness. That's what the fruit of it is. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. It's not in a set of rules and regulations. Now, don't get me wrong. The Father wants to protect us from all that's wrong. And his counsel is to you and I, stay away from a son that's damaging. There's a reason why we tell our children, don't get too close to that edge of that cliff. It'll get you. There's a reason why we say that. And there's a reason why in the Father's house, he comes to you and I and says, and gives us these little words of caution. Child, be careful over there now. You're getting in an area that's dangerous. Just come a little closer to me. There's a reason why he does that. The fruit of the Spirit is in goodness. It's in righteousness. Do we need to define that? I don't want to give you a book that defines that. I would be fallible in that. I would miss some things, but I want to tell you, God doesn't miss it. Now, there was a time when I was growing up. I used this tactic on my mother. She told me some do's and don'ts. She said, no, don't do that. And the specific thing she said, I knew that. She said that. But I said, but she didn't say this other. You ever seen children do that? And then come back later and say, but you, I know you said that, but you didn't say I couldn't do this. I'm being vague here, but you know what I'm talking about. You ever seen children do that? Have you ever done that when you're growing up? Maybe. I did. Came back trying to use an argument, but you didn't say that. You know what my mother's response was? She said, you knew what I meant. Didn't have to tell you that. You knew what I meant. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. And you know what he means. Don't have to explain it all to you. It's in righteousness. You and I follow that, and hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Lord will take care of the rest. The Lord will answer our questions. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and being truthful. Doing what's right. I want to tell you this, to my mind, goes over in an area that I think is very essential for you and I as we walk with the Lord. Honesty. Be honest. Be truthful. Sometimes I can try to find little areas of trying to weasel around an issue. If I want it bad enough, I'll figure out a reason why. Have you ever wondered why? You remember the man that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day to cook some food? You remember that? The story in the Bible? Old Testament time. Picking up sticks, what happened to him? He was stoned. Why? That seems so radical. Maybe if we'd have just talked to him, we'd understand his reasoning. Maybe when he just talked and he said, well, yeah, what? I don't know. He probably had a good story to tell why he had to pick up those sticks that morning. But it wasn't truthful. It's not right. Not honest. See, he knew that God had said don't. And he may have said, well, you know, I know he said don't, but he didn't say don't in this circumstance. Honesty, when we come before the Lord, is a very essential ingredient. God doesn't want us to make room for me just because I think my situation is unique to everything else. God still wants you and I to be righteous and godly and truthful and honest and hungering and thirsting after righteousness and reprove in our hearts. Reprove even as the world looks on, reprove them. Reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm not saying God wants us to go out there and see somebody doing wrong and just come down on them. Oh, be careful there. If he gives you anything to say, you say it in a godly way. You be careful. The best way for you and I to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness is to let the light shine in our heart. Live it right here. And as we walk about them, you're going to see something special. Uncleanness. There's a word up there in the third verse. Uncleanness. Well, I believe that has to do more than just maybe needing to take baths. I don't believe that really is what that's talking about. I believe this is talking about things, again, that are not. nation that everything has to be so defined. Have you ever noticed why a lawyer, you get him in a court of law, and you have to have warning stickers on your mattress. You have to have warning stickers on so many things. Why? Well, if you don't do it, you're going to subject yourself to lawsuits. When we all know what's right. We know it. Uncleanness. Did you know God? God wants us to just do things that are pure and right. Stay away from the complicating things of trying to self-justify. For this, in the fifth verse, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now these things that he's talking about here, I know we can look at some of those are terrible and those are way out of bounds, we recognize. But these, it also it said uncleanness again. Things that are just impure. Things that are not wholesome and doesn't blend in with the character of godliness. He said, he pronounced it at the end of that verse, these things have no these folks that would involve themselves has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. These things would begin to cut us off from the Lord. Now the Lord gives us space. When things come in our life, the Lord when he brings an understanding to our mind that, brother, my child, these things are not like me. Did you know he gives us space to change? He gives us space to repent. You remember over in Revelations that he said, the Lord said this, that wicked woman Jezebel, remember that? He turned her that. But he said, I gave her space to repent. Lord does give you and I, when we recognize places in our life that have run afoul, that have gotten over an area that God doesn't want us involved in, he gives us space to change. Space to repent. And God wants us to approach these areas of our life as dear children. Lord, I didn't realize that. Thank you, Lord, for making that known unto me. There were some times when I was growing up and my mother showed me where I was wrong. I didn't like to tell. I like to think I was right. Kind of bullheaded and the Lord's still having to work with that on me. But as a dear child, when he makes us know that this needs to be changed. As a dear child says, oh Lord, change me. I want to be like you. That's where he wants you and I to walk today. In a place of repentance, in a place of forgiveness, where the Lord can take you and I and show us his way more perfectly, and then I just flow into it. Not making room for myself. Not having any, as he said here, I keep forgetting that word, fellowship. Not having any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But on the other hand, walk in love as Christ has also loved us. Allow, Lord, I want to be like you. Walk in that love. Walk in that place where I let nothing come between. That will cause you and I to be victorious. It will cause you and I to be fruitful. It will cause you and I to be in this world as that city set on the hill. As a light shining. And God doesn't want you and I to put a bushel over that light. He wants you and I to be that light. Pray for me. I want to be that light. I want to be one of those little dear children.